I want to talk about necessary evidence. This is a part one. It seems like we're getting into all these part one, part twos now. It's because stuff is a little too thick now. Text has been read, beautifully explained, so I don't have to do a whole lot of exegetical work. And I'm grateful for that. But I just want to pull something real quick. So I want to use your imagination. I'm not saying sanctified imagination. I want you to use your imagination according to what you saw and what you read in the text. I want you to see the scene. Okay? You got Jesus being rushed to address one issue. And somewhere along the line, he addresses another. You see, so a centurion comes and says, I know that I need you to come and see about my daughter who's dying. And Jesus is like, cool, I'm coming with you. But you know and I know, Jesus can't go anywhere without crowds forming, right? Amen. That's what happens when stuff all of a sudden becomes popular. Right. Let me lighten the moment for a minute. That's how, someone caught it. That's how a Popeye's chicken sandwich. Wait for it. Because some people think it just came out of nowhere. That's how a chicken sandwich that has always existed on the menu. It has always existed on the Popeye's menu. But suddenly went from being 99 cents to almost $4. Causing people to all of a sudden go to a place where they are notorious for having bad service anyway. And causing them to be frayed because everybody now wants something that, wait for it, has always existed. In the same way, that's how they would treat Jesus. Jesus always been there, but all of a sudden, because he's doing stuff that nobody else is doing, every time he shows up at a place, folk got what? They got needs, they got issues, they got stuff. They show up. So it's nothing unusual. But this time, something happened. Here's what happened. Everybody pushing up on Jesus, but somehow, suddenly, Jesus stops the crowd. Stops the crowd because something happened to him. Power left him. And he felt it. What happened? There was a woman who had a condition. And I want you to see this for what it really is and not for how people sanitize stories. Because y'all should know me by now. I am not going to allow you to look at the text and sanitize it. This woman had a blood condition that caused her to bleed regularly, every day, for 12 years. All right. What do you think this looked like? She was constantly bleeding, went to doctors, spent her money. Nobody had a cure. Nobody had a way to deal with the symptoms for 12 years. She probably shouldn't be alive. And she's bleeding for 12 years. Nobody can help. She shouldn't be around anybody because according to the law, she's unclean. Shouldn't be having any type of bodily fluid anywhere near anybody according to the law. So I want you to see the scene of crowds of people surrounding Jesus, but at least one streak in the street coming from somebody with a condition where she couldn't stop bleeding. The whole scene is unsanitary. And listen, this is why you should read your Bible. You ain't got to read Greek and Hebrew to read something in English. You feel me? It says that she had an inner dialogue. Because anybody that writes the story, the author of the text, had to get some kind of eyewitness account. It did not say the woman spoke out of her mouth. She said within herself. You see, that's what that reading is fundamental, because a lot of people always say, she said, no, she was having an inner dialogue. She said within herself, if I could just get close. Yes. That's what she said within herself. Nobody heard this come out of her mouth. This is in her. If I could just touch his clothes, King James, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could get close, I will be made whole. Yes. And somehow this woman, who's a bloodied mess, in the midst of a crowd of people who kicking up dust to try to be close in proximity to Jesus, she got around all those folk just to touch his clothes. And suddenly, immediately, everything in her was what? Rectified. And at the same time, Jesus stopped a whole crowd and said, who touched me? See, faith is an interesting thing, you know. Faith is interesting because people say they got faith, but most of the time they just got belief. Faith is different. Faith can be described according to three different texts in the Bible. Faith is the substance, things hoped for, and the evidence, things not seen. Mm-hmm. Faith is described as something that without having faith, it is impossible to please God. And also described this way, that faith without works is dead. A lot of people got belief, but they ain't got juice behind it. You believe and I believe a whole lot of different things, right? I believe that pineapple on pizza is an abomination. That's belief. You ain't got to agree with what I believe, but I believe that pineapple on a pizza is an abomination unto God. I believe that LeBron James is not the greatest basketball player of all time. I believe that if I didn't go down this road of ministry as early as I did, I probably would be a rich man today. But that's just what I believe. Faith will make you do some stuff, though, that you wouldn't normally do. And see, what people need to understand is that in this day and age, nobody cares about your beliefs. They care about some evidence behind what you're talking about. That's why I don't care how many scriptures you can quote. I just want to know, do you really believe this thing to the point where you'll put your quote unquote money where your mouth is? Can I say it like I feel it? There's a whole lot of people that got a whole lot of lip when it comes to Jesus, but they will never ever do anything to support it. I'm talking money, I'm talking work, I'm talking energy, I'm talking effort, I'm talking a whole lot of stuff. You know, a lot of people, let me go all the way here. A lot of people are angry about a whole lot of things, but won't join organizations, won't go to meetings, won't do this, won't do that. That's called putting your money, your effort where your mouth is. You believe that children can be saved, but you don't want to talk to them. You believe that young people can be made different in the hands of God, but you dog them because they're quote unquote millennials. Yeah, I said it. You will come up with every reason why this is possible, but won't put nothing behind it. Faith without works is dead. And a faithless church always dies. Oh, I'm not saying that's where we are today, but I just want to serve this as a reminder. Don't go backwards. Because you need faith to always move what? Ahead. So you need to understand what faith will actually compel you to do. Let me give you these three things and I'm done. Faith will make you do some stuff. In people's minds, some crazy things. So here are the things that faith will cause us to do. Here's the evidence that you got some faith going on. First, faith will cause you to refuse to be blocked out by the crowd. Faith will cause you to not be blocked out by the crowd. That woman refused to let a crowd get in the way of what she needed from Jesus. When was the last time you were so desperate to be in the presence of God that you would not allow anything in your life stop you? When I'm talking about crowds, I'm not talking just about natural stuff. I'm talking about people. I'm talking about situations. I'm talking about circumstances. I'm talking about your emotions, what's on your mind, what's in your heart, what's in your spirit. Everything in life can be a crowd. You got people that got all kind of opinions. That's the crowd. You got people that mean well, but they getting in your way. That's the crowd. You got people that want to tell you you're doing too much and you're going too far and they don't take all that. That's the crowd. But every now and then, you got to be able to look at yourself and say to yourself, I know that I'm overwhelmed. I'm going through it. I know that nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to hear me. They ain't hearing me. I wish somebody would hear me. I keep on going to folk that I wish they would just say, I feel what you're going through, and that would be enough. But sometimes you got to get to the point where you say, God, if I can just get close enough to you in the midst of all this, I'm going to be all right. The woman didn't care about other people, other stuff. She cared about her situation. Yes. I'll tell you something. As much as the high that I told you about last week was just crazy. And it wasn't that everything was bad. I mean, how could it be bad if you saw 23 people say yes to Jesus? That's great. How could it be bad? I saw my son walk into school as a kindergarten on the first day, and it was my birthday. How could the week be bad? It wasn't all bad, my God. But down the line somewhere, folks started sucking things out of me, telling me this and telling me that, and talking about this and talking about that. And even when I wanted to say, you know what? I'm tired. Some folk didn't get it. And they didn't get what I was saying. When I say I'm tired, I'm telling folk, I'm giving you the opportunity to not only agree with my assessment, but with your own. Because you're not by yourself. Y'all don't want to hear this. Cool. Okay. How could it be bad? But that's why 5:30 this morning came. I didn't understand, Gramps, why 5:30 came this morning. I was not trying to get up at 5:30. Not today. Not today. Not a holiday weekend, not a Sunday morning. I'm not trying to get up at 5:30 in the morning. I got up and then I laid back down. I said, God, listen. Yeah. I ain't thinking it with people today. Yeah. I'm tired. I'm wore out. Yeah. I'm trying. I'm starting to snap on people that I actually love. I don't need this right now. But I need you. Because if I can't get to you, I'm liable to. Y'all don't want to be honest? Cool. I'm bringing you into my own prayer life. Some of y'all got the same prayer life I do. You got to the point where you just liable to look at somebody and tell somebody, if you say one more thing to me, it ain't even their fault. But you can't take no more. And then That's why the Lord showed up the way he did. He told me what he did. If you were on social media, you saw how God answered my prayer. But let me give you a quick synopsis. God said, listen, I got you. I want you to know. This is how power left God and came into me. Said, I'm not going to leave you hanging. Yeah. I'm not going to let you run out. Y'all missed it. Fill me up, Lord, that we say that. But, you know, sometimes you need to hear God say, I'm not going to let you run out because I'm your supply. Yeah. And wait for it. The Lord said this to me too. He said, I'm actually going to block those that try to suck you dry because they don't know that I'm your supply. And I'm going to make a way of escape so you can learn how to handle yourself as I handle this. I got this part, but I need you to learn how to what? Take this part too. That's what happens when you go before God. Because when you're desperate enough to be in God's presence, no matter what's going on, God will show up for you. Is anybody in here that knows that when you decided to get down on your face, get down on your knees, and just stop what you were doing, knowing that everything was going on left and right, God showed up in your existence and let you know that no matter what is happening, I still see you. Got to be desperate enough to get around the crowd. You ain't going to let the crowd block you. Second thing is you got to put the word to work. Got to put the word to the test. Listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. Somewhere along the line, this woman heard about who Jesus was. Not just the teacher, but what? The healer. Everybody that has an encounter with Jesus has some kind of reference point. Okay? Let's everybody that encountered Jesus had a reference point. They heard about him. They saw him at work. Something. What happens when you go to doctors that can't do nothing for you? And they have medical expertise. And it's nothing left. Somewhere, I believe, she ran into the reality that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to the Father but by me. In some way, shape, or form, she heard about what Jesus was doing. Healing the sick, raising the dead, giving sight to the blind, all that. Somewhere she had a reference point. So she put everything to the test. Listen to what she said again. If I can get close to him, I will. Some of y'all don't know how to say will. You're talking to Jesus and you keep on saying might. I know he can. But you don't say, I know he will. Yeah. That's a little more emphatic. I know he can. That's knowledge. I know he might. That's a choice. But when you say, I know he will, that is definitive. You said, if I can get close to him, I will be made whole. Some of us in here need to learn how to have a real confidence in what it is to follow God. When you really follow God for real, it may not come out the way you want it, but God always shows up and does a thing, and he will show up for you. Stop walking around here acting as if God might. No. Be not dismayed. Whatever be tied, God will take care of you. Yeah, no, don't worry. Wait. I don't know if this is going to work out, and I don't know if this is going to happen. And you don't know. Have you ever encountered the God you say you serve? You go to church every week. You sit up in the pew. You listen to some big black man keep on shouting about somebody that looks like Jesus. And after a while, you say you don't know if he's going to come up and show up for you. After all you've been through, don't you have a list of what God has done in your life? My God. Think about all that the Lord did for you just last week. My God, keep going back. Go back a month. Go back a year. Go back 5, 10. in whatever you got to do, you ought to know that if anybody can bless you, if anybody can heal you, if anybody can deliver you, God will do it for you. But the only way you're going to know it is if you learn how to work the word. She worked it. The word in her, Fred, was this: if I can touch his clothes, I will. That's the word, will. I will be made whole. It is not about, I got nothing else. I have no doubt about this. And what happened? Power left his body. And immediately healed her of her condition. But let me get to the last thing so you understand that this wasn't even the shouting moment. Because faith will cause you to reach for Christ in any condition. Here's where the shout comes. You ready? This is why it's important to read your Bible and read it clearly. When Jesus stopped, he said, "Who touched me?" Right? The disciples said, "How in the world are you asking a question like this? Look around you." I'm going somewhere. Just stay with me. Got a few more minutes. Stay with me. And Jesus looked around. And then the woman who received the healing stepped up and said, "It was me." You may not recognize how much maturity was happening in that moment. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" The disciples were only thinking on a flesh level. Which means that proximity to Jesus don't mean you actually touching his life. Let me say that one more again. Proximity doesn't mean that you're actually touching the Christ. So that means that I don't care how you pray and how pretty it sounds, it might not get there. It may not get there because God don't care about pretty. God cares about, are you really pulling on what he cares about? And watch this, don't shout yet. What he cares about is you. I'm almost there, I promise. So the woman steps up, heard the question, and answered it maturely. It was me. And then, not the Savior, but the priest in Jesus came out. Let me teach this. Remember when Jesus healed those lepers? And what did he say? He said, "Go to the priest so that you can be declared clean." Because that was according to the law. They went. 9 didn't come back, but 1 came back to say, "Thank you." And his thank you gave him his wholeness. So there was no priest to be found. So Jesus stepped out and said, "Daughter, your faith." She worked it. "Your faith has made you whole." And then he declared what? "Go in peace and be healed of your disease." You missed it. She could have left and the disease was healed, but would have never been declared whole. That's why it's necessary that no matter what God does in your life, you better show up and tell the Lord thank you. Because what you're really looking for is not just the healing of a disease. What you're seeking God for is wholeness in your life. Can I get somebody in here that knows that when you show up and tell the Lord thank you, He'll make you whole. When you show up and look unto God, He'll tell you that you're going to be all right. He'll tell you that no matter what you're going through and no matter what your struggle is, I'm not just going to bless you and take away the disease. I'm here to give you life and life more abundantly. So don't you dare sit down on anything that God has done to you. If you know the Lord has done anything for you, stop being quiet about it. Stop keeping it to yourself. Because the Lord wants to know, can you bless me when you're down? Can you bless me when you're up? Can you shout when I get you out of trouble? Can you shout when you're not in trouble? Can you shout when it's all good? Can you shout even when it's bad? Can you hold on and hold out no matter what the circumstance is? If you can do that, you have moved from just being a person that received the evidence of faith. You are now the evidence. Don't tell me what you believe. Ain't nobody here to hear what you got to say about what you believe. Folk want to know, what's the evidence of your faith? What's the evidence? What's the evidence? You are the evidence. Stop being scared to tell folk. Yeah, I once was lost, but now I'm fine. Stop being so nervous to tell folk that you haven't always been this way. And God had to really restore some stuff in your life. Quit talking about your stuff has been perfect by being silent. Stop it. Ain't none of us in here trying to judge your piety. I want to know that I'm around some real people that know what God can do for them. I feel safe. That's it. Let me close this way. I personally feel safe around people that have a past that ain't perfect. Because I know that they are more willing to tell me that if God didn't bring me out, I didn't have a shot. I get nervous around people that tell me they pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps, because that lets me know that whatever they have in their life is counterfeit. I know that I am safe around people that can say, you know what? If it had not been for the Lord on my side, there ain't no telling where I be. Let me sound quote unquote old school, but it sound real good because it's good theology for this message. I should have been dead and gone, but I'm here. Whatever it was, I should have been gone, but I'm here, and I'm here by the grace of God. Your faith has to have necessary evidence. And we'll deal with part 2 next week.